a Monday, and it's the Bob McCowan podcast, and John Shannon is here with me.
And, hello, and Robert.
Good morning. We have no guest today. One wants to appear with you, apparently.
No. I get that feeling a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked to hundreds, thousands of potential guests.
I'm surprised you showed up.
Is Shannon on? And I said, no, yeah, he's on. And they said, oh, well, I'm busy. Yeah. So make of that.
It's like being at home. Just like being at home.
So a few things to discuss here in reflection of what has taken place over the past few days. If you live in Tampa Bay and you are a sports fan, you better enjoy this, because this is the kind of thing that, I mean, doesn't just happen occasionally or even rarely. It almost never happens that they have three major professional sports franchises. One has already won a championship, the Lightning. Another is in the finals, which is to say the Rays are in the World Series. And what we saw on late Sunday afternoon, was a very impressive performance by the Buccaneers, who dismantled the previously unbeaten Green Bay Packers to the tune of, 38-10, something like that.
It was.
So you got one down, one close, and I think, you know, based on yesterday's performance, and I know that there were people, Peter King talked about Tampa Bay at the beginning of the year. We've had a few people mention Tampa Bay as the Buccaneers as a possible, Super Bowl contender. But you got to feel pretty good, don't you, if you're in Tampa right now? And, you know, who knows, maybe only win one out of the three. But, wow, what a year.
You don't see it very often. You don't see in many cities this opportunity. I mean, heck, maybe the Raptors, when the NBA season starts, maybe the Raptors should play to Tampa and give them a fourth opportunity in the fourth sport. But I guess all the pressure now is on Tom Brady, right? Because, you know, he's not reacted to pressure well in his career.
Well, I don't know. Do you think he's under pressure?
I mean, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek based on I think a lot of people didn't think he would play this well, though. I think that everybody thought that, you know, the way his career ended in New England with a pick six was going to be the way his career would end, period. I'll tell you what, he and Bruce Arians have that offense going in the right direction. The defense is really good. You're right, they're a team. I actually thought about exactly what you talked about yesterday, Bob, when Tampa advanced to the World Series, and then the way the football team plays is, can you imagine the trifecta of all three teams winning a championship within the same sports calendar year?
Well,
that to me is remarkable.
Multi-millions to one.
Yeah.
Like, I could say 1,000,000 to 1, but that's not high enough. I think realistically, it's multi-millions to one.
You know, there were times where a couple of teams, like whether it was an NBA team and the football team, were good. But I don't remember three teams in the same city in my lifetime being this good and this dominant. Now, you're right about the Bucs. It's a little early to be talking about this.
Sure.
But at the same time, they looked pretty darn good yesterday against the Packers.
Well, I think the extraordinary thing about it, too, is this is one of the smallest markets in professional sport. Not only is it a small market, it is a market dominated by geezers like you and I. Like you, who have gone to pasture in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, and, you know, are living off their old age pensions and, you know, going to 5 p.m. dinners because they're, you know, $2.99.
You know what? Do you know we had dinner yesterday? You know what time we had dinner yesterday, Bob? My wife decided to have the dinner at 4:30. Uh-huh. I almost tweeted out. I almost tweeted out, I thought I was in a happy hour.
I at rest a senior's my case.
Buffet. It was unbelievable.
Rest my case. You are old and you're ready for Florida. And specifically Tampa, St. Peter, Clearwater. Any of those will work. But, I mean, this is a tiny, tiny market.
Yes, it is.
I didn't do the research. I don't know if it's the smallest market in professional sports, but it's among them. It'd be in the five smallest, wouldn't you say?
I would. Yeah, I think it's when you – I mean, the actual city of Tampa, not fair, but the actual city of Tampa, I think, is under 300,000 people.
And then you add St. Pete and Clearwater in there, and, right. and you know, are you at a million? Maybe you are.
I think there's closer to 2 million in the within 50 really? Miles. Yeah, within 50 miles.
Well, you know, it depends
on how.
That's
still small.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing. So why? Lifestyle, really nice weather.
Why what?
Why are baseball teams that good there? Why is the hockey team that good there? Why are they able to draw free agents to play there?
Well, look
taxes?
At this.
Are we all talking taxes?
No. We're talking – well, no, taxes, you know, taxes are pretty decent there, so
– Sure. No state tax. So, yeah. you know, you don't pay as much as other places. You still pay 38% federal tax, but you don't pay.
Yeah, cost of living is not high there. It's probably generally pretty low. I mean, if you want to buy a house on the ocean, you know, you're going to pay. But, sure. you know, if you want to live inland a little bit, you know, it's not that expensive. Look, the intriguing thing to me is the economics do not necessarily support the theory that a city as small as Tampa can accomplish this. Look, the baseball team for many years has had, if not the lowest, among the three lowest salary bases in all of baseball. Oakland, Pittsburgh would be the other two that would jump to mind. There may be a couple of others that are in there. And I know they're in the bottom five. I don't know.
Their baseball payroll this year is $70 million.
So they're in the bottom five.
Yeah.
To win a championship with a $70 million payroll, this is an extraordinary accomplishment. And this team has been good, maybe not this good, but has been good for quite a period of time. So, you know, we can talk all you, and they go against a team that's at the other end of the spectrum, the Los Angeles Dodgers, whose payroll is probably close to $200 million.
Yes. Yeah. And well, they already beat the other team that has the big payroll and the Yankees, right? They already beat them.
Yeah.
So, but there's something
now, hockey, to be. I was going to say hockey, the payroll, you know, they now.
Well, their payroll is actually, the hockey payroll is actually bigger than the baseball payroll.
Well, and it's to the cap, basically. But it was not right always now, that way.
Right now it's over the cap.
Yeah, but it was not always that way. For the, I don't know, first 5-10 years, they were closer to the bottom. Because they didn't draw enough fans, there wasn't enough interest, blah, blah,
It wasn't
blah.
A great hockey market.
No,
I
it
mean,
wasn't.
It wasn't a great hockey market.
No, it's become that, but...
Yeah, it has. They've done a marvelous job there. The new building, now it's not new now, but the building that got put up in the early 2000s, that it really has become a hub of the downtown core. The real big change on the hockey side, Bob, was ownership. Jeffrey Vinnick, who Gary Bettman knew and met in Boston, he was a small owner of the Red Sox, and he was in the financial world. He convinced him to buy. He got a hell of a deal. He bought the arena and the hockey club for about $100 million. And you know darn well it wasn't really $100 million. That was what they said publicly. And Vinnick has become the poster child for sports ownership. He has treated people well. He let his hockey people do the job. He's big in the community. It truly is an amazing story of ownership doing the job there long before the technocrats of the sport doing it.
But you will remember when he took over the franchise, he looked like another one of those egomaniacal, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to play with my toy kind of guys. Did he not have his kid skate with the team?
I don't remember that, but I trust you that happened. I will tell you right now, the moment he hired Steve Yzerman, it changed. And Steve Yzerman became the credibility.
Yzerman has proven to be an exceptional front office guy.
Yep.
But historically, great players have not done well at coaching or managing as executives.
You're right.
So I can make the argument back to you as to that Vinnick may not be smart. He may have been lucky that hiring Yzerman was probably nothing more than we got to get people in the building. We got to get people excited. Here's a guy, you know, it's not going to cost us $5 million or whatever. You know,
not
here's
in the
a
beginning.
Guy we'll make
not
him
in the beginning.
Not in the beginning. Yeah. And here's, we'll make him the general manager and he'll sell hockey in Tampa Bay. Yeah. Now, I give him credit for it because it worked out. But look, you could have argued against the wisdom of that decision. Right?
No, I honestly, no.
Sure. In hindsight, you had no idea that Yzerman was.
Well, you know how it works in the National Hockey League. When an owner comes in, there's a checklist of people that get asked, who should I hire? Where are they going? Everything gets run through the commissioner's office. And I'll tell you right now, when Yzerman became available as the manager, he was at the top of everybody's list. He was going to be the next great general manager, given the opportunity.
Why? Why? Because he was a great player?
No, because
nobody knew.
No, because he took the time. Because he
spent a couple of years in Detroit.
Five, in fact. Okay. To sit and work with Devolano and Bowman and Kenny Holland. To learn the ins and outs of the game. And I mean, this was not the first job that he was offered, but this was the one that was the most attractive.
I give you all that.
When you start with Victor Hedman and Steven Stamkos, because they were there before he was, you're doing okay.
Well,
you might have been the manager of the Tampa lately.
Look, you can manage your ass off, and if the players aren't any good, you know, you're getting fired. That's the way it works.
It's true.
Period. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So an extraordinary time if you live in Tampa Bay. Here's the other interesting thing. When this pandemic crap started and sports was shut down, then it was announced that they were going to come back with a variety of different formats. And effectively, the National Football League will be the first post-pandemic to actually play a full season, we think. Having said that, let's take a look at what has happened so far. We thought this was going to be a goofy asterisk year, that anything could happen. Anybody could win. You got to play 162 in baseball. You got to play 82 in hockey and basketball. And if you play less than that, all kinds of crap's going to happen. Well, what's happened? Tampa Bay won the Stanley Cup. What were they, second or third choice?
They were top three for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Boston had a better record than anybody else. I forget.
Not in the East. No, they were the top two seeds.
Okay. So. Not a surprise.
No.
Pretty predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball. Best team in the American League?
Well, Tampa was.
Over 60 games. Now, you got to play 162. 60 games isn't enough. Blah, 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 blah. Poppycock.
60 games in Major League Baseball is usually when managers and general managers say, okay, we have to decide whether we're going to keep them or trade them.
Exactly. So they play 60 games. Tampa Bay is the best team in the American League. Where are they now? They're in the World Series.
Yeah, they're in the World Series last day.
60 games in the National League. Who is the number one team?
Dodgers.
Dodgers, they're in the World Series. Mm-hmm. No surprise.
Shouldn't be.
No surprise. So, basketball. So they play, it's a little closer to a full season. Who did everybody predict would be in the final? Who did everybody, or most people, predict would win the championship?
Well, the Lakers were supposed to win.
L.A. Lakers. Did they win?
The best matchup was supposed to be the Western Conference Final between the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah, but the Lakers were the team that most people thought would win the NBA championship, and they did.
Really, the only outlier is the Miami Heat, because none of us had the Miami Heat ahead of the Raptors or the Celtics or the Bucks.
Yeah, but they didn't win. At the end of the day,
but they got to the final. They got to the finals.
My point is that the teams that we thought, that the consensus thought would be good and would be champions, have become champions. Mm-hmm. Regardless the pandemic, regardless the goofy schedules, regardless being isolated and been put in a cocoon, whether they were or they weren't, no matter what, it's been normal. We were all talking about asterisks at the beginning of this, because these wouldn't be warranted champions because it's different. Well, forget the asterisks. The good teams won.
Because in the end, what all the leagues did so far have maintained and respected the integrity of their playoff systems, which is to say...
Oh, BS. They have not.
They have, Bob.
Wait a second. Listen. The National Hockey League had a play-in thing. That's not...
They still got to 16 games. You still need 16 teams. You got 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. They only invited the teams that could get in.
Then they invited a couple more that had a chance. Okay. The Phoenix Suns in the NBA won 8 straight games during that little bubble.
It was called the regular season. That was the end of the regular season. Here's my point, though. If any of the leagues had gone and said, no, we're gonna compromise best of 7 series. To your point, if they had compromised best of 7 series, we would be having different conversations.
Maybe we would, John. Yeah. But you don't know that Atlanta would have beat the Dodgers 3-1 in a best of 5 because blah blah blah. You can't say that.
I just did.
Well, you can say whatever you want, but that doesn't make it smart or right.
No, but I think that maintaining the integrity of a best of 7 series was the best thing that all the sports leagues did once it got down to, can we make sure there is no asterisk?
Well, why wouldn't they? At the end of the time, day, try the reason
the bubble,
leagues, wait a sec. The reason these leagues came back is what?
Money.
Thank you.
Yeah.
To
playoff money.
To honor the broadcast contracts and advertisers who had committed, and they were in danger of having to give them a whole crap load of money back.
Correct.
And they solved that problem. Now, did they make money, NHL? No. NBA? Yeah, probably made a little bit.
Their TV
deal's pretty good.
They didn't want to give it back. They were already counting the pennies. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So my point is
the motivation is cake, dollars.
I understand that. But
I'm not giving credit for being greedy.
No, but I think that the reason there is no asterisk is not because of anything other than the difficulty of winning the championship remained the same. That's why there's no asterisk. There's no asterisk because of, well, they got their TV money. There's no asterisk because they got their marketing dollars. The asterisk does not exist there because it was damn hard again to win, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, the Stanley Cup, and it will be difficult for the Dodgers or the Rays to win the World Series trophy.
It's all positive light with you, isn't it?
It's a Monday. I'm in a good mood.
Clearly. You're always in a good mood. You're always ready to bend over.
Well, somebody needs to be in a good mood on this show.
Look, I'm trying to make points here that I hope people are interested in and are reasonably relevant, but I'm not trying to suck up to everybody because I might get a job there someday, or I used to work there.
I don't need a job, Bob.
Well, then stop sucking up. All right, one more topic.
Just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Oh, yes, it does.
No
way. That's exactly what it means.
Come on.
The Toronto Maple Leafs have retained the services of another geezer.
Yes.
Joe Thornton. It's been speculated for about a week now that he might become a Toronto Maple Leaf. Now, I hear he got like $700,000, but I assume...
He got the minimum salary, yep.
Yeah, there's bonuses and stuff, aren't there?
There can be, but his salary is the minimum. Being as old as he is, he has the opportunity to earn bonus dollars, yes.
I think that's what I just said.
Instead of agreeing with me...
You don't like it
when I agree with you.
Go on. No, you had to try and make it your story and explain to people how I am wrong and you are right.
Last I checked, this is your
podcast. I said $700,000. That's what I said. That's all I said. I didn't go into the other stuff. Now, the reason Joe Thornton, he says, wanted to become a Toronto Maple Leaf is because he pines to win a Stanley Cup. Now, Joe Thornton is over in Davos, Switzerland. Is that right? Playing for HC Davos. Does he know who the Toronto Maple Leafs have on the team? Has he followed this team at all? He's an Ontario guy, right?
Yeah, he lives in. He's from London, St. Thomas, that area.
Yeah, mom and dad are still in St. Thomas.
Yeah,
is he not paying attention? Has he been in a coma since 1967? Well, the Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a cup in 54 years.
And when was the last time they won a playoff series? Cup.
They have not been to a Stanley Cup final.
No.
In 54 years, they have been to one semifinal. 53, 54. The Gretzky, Gilmore,
Two.
Was there another one?
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Tell me the other one.
It was 1999, Buffalo, and they lost to Buffalo and Dom Hasek in 5 games. That was the conference final.
You sure?
Yeah. I was in.
No one cares where you were. It doesn't matter where you were.
Remember the following series, Brett Hull scored with his foot in the
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, that's that year.
Well, then I apologize for my inaccuracy. Having said that, there is almost no team over the past 53 years that has been as crappy as the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Joe Thornton is trying to convince us, somebody, that the reason he signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs is because he wants a chance to win the Stanley Cup. So, in the face of this ridiculous argument that Thornton is making, I have done some research. I know.
Hold on, ladies. Can we get music or fanfare here? We should have a drum roll.
This is a cheap show. And we don't even have a sponsor for this show, which raises the question, why are we even doing it? But having said that.
For the love of the game, Bob.
Yeah, maybe for you. The Toronto Maple Leafs are 20-1 to win the Stanley Cup. There are 6 or 7 teams that Las Vegas rates higher than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. And because Toronto Maple Leaf fans are so dedicated and so stupid, they invariably bet on their hometown 6. And so the odds really should be 40 or 50 to 1, not 20 to 1.
Sure.
What in the name of the baby Jesus is Thornton talking about then?
You know what? I we touched on this on the last podcast on the roundtable. All of these guys that grew up in Southern Ontario, that you know, that in their childhood lives, Doug Gilmore was the greatest Maple Leaf of all time, and that
they were all Leaf fans. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And so I think that at some point, and when you look from outside, it does look like the grass is greener. You know, players that play here think it's the greatest place once they get inside Scotiabank Arena. And I think Thornton just has yearned to put on that jersey once in his life after starting in Boston and after all the, from a lifestyle perspective, to think that he's going to leave Northern California is, to me, amazing. Amazing. I think he's closer to winning the Stanley Cup with the Maple Leafs than he would be if he signed with the Sharks.
Oh, I'll give you that.
Yeah, but I think this is fulfilling a childhood dream just once. And how many times have we seen this? Bob, I mean, some of the greatest players in the last 30 years have come to Toronto, whether it be traded or signed. Eric Lindros, Brian Leetch, Ron Francis, Phil Housley. They've all come here thinking that they can be that last little...
Yeah, how's that worked out?
And it doesn't. It doesn't. Because this is such a fishbowl. I mean, if we get back to normalcy, and I'm not sure we ever will, and Thornton sees this lifestyle on a regular basis, he will yearn for San Jose again.
So if Thornton and Spezza get on the ice at the same time,
which is not possible.
Well, because they both play the same position, right?
Well, but basically, although Thornton can play wing. Spezza can play wing now.
Theoretically.
Sure, John. They're both centers.
Theoretically, they could get on the ice at the same time. Combined, 80 years old.
Yes.
80.
Yeah. They should be in Tampa.
Spezza's 39, right?
37, I think.
No. I think he was 38 last year. He's going to be 39 this year.
I didn't do my research.
I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. But here's
the thing, is that in talking to a couple of people with the organization over the weekend, they think that Thornton is their number four center. If they get to a schedule
I'll tell you, when it gets to the Stanley Cup final, boy, I'll tell you, I focus a lot on the number four center when I'm deciding who's going to win.
Well, for $700,000, Freddie Gauthier was making the same much. But here's my point. If we get to a schedule where it's compacted, or it's three and four or two and three, I would be surprised to see Spezza and Thornton in the lineup at the same time.
Well, I am too. My whole point.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's an expanded roster, in particular if the pandemic continues, and then you're able to use your roster a little different. And so, perhaps Spezza plays on a Thursday, and if they have a back to back on the Friday, it's Thornton's turn.
Look, Spezza was a very good player. Thornton was
They were both superstars.
Yeah. And they're at the end of their careers, and I got nothing against them. Congratulations. I suspect both of them will go into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
That's a good question.
Well, I don't care about it. I don't want to get into that. That is the least of my concerns, is what
you said it.
That clandestine group that gathers there in great secrecy.
You were the one who brought it up, Bob.
With hoods over them and ski masks, or now they can just wear COVID masks when they're there, so no one knows what they're doing or what they're talking to. I couldn't care less who they put in or not.
Ever since Lanny McDonald dissed you, you've been anti-Hall.
No. I couldn't care less about Lanny McDonald. Or anybody else for that matter, now that I think of it.
That's good. Oh, hey, it's a regular Monday. Oh,
my opinion on the Hockey Hall of Fame predates Lanny McDonald. I can assure you of that.
Your hockey. Your opinion of the Hockey Hall of Fame predates Cyclone Taylor. Are you kidding me?
Well, there's some truth in that, too. Cyclone Taylor's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, he is.
There you go. I wouldn't have put him in.
Oh, sure.
As someone who's had season tickets for all of Cyclone Taylor's games, I can tell you he wasn't that good.
People in Vancouver thought they liked you. Now you're ripping Cyclone Taylor. I mean, you know.
Ah, to hell with everybody.
Hey, by the way, before we go, are we going?
We got to go. What?
No, I just, we better mention, and the news came out early Monday morning, that Mike Emmerich, the voice of hockey in the United States, in his mid-70s now, 47 years in the industry, he called that Tampa Stanley Cup final, is retiring.
Good for him.
Yeah. So I just want to wish Mike Emmerich the best. Fantastic job for all those years and for all those decades.
He was on the show, wasn't he? He was on the show.
Yeah. We might even get him on the podcast.
Well, we should do that.
Okay.
I'll leave that to you.
I'm shocked.
So go through your long list of hockey contacts.
Yes.
And look under the E.
Oh, it starts with E, does it?
Yes.
Thank you, Doc.
Somebody's got to tell you.
Okay.
Is that enough? I think that's enough.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm exhausted as well. We'll do it again on Wednesday if the crick don't rise. Happy early part of the week to you, John.
Thank you, Bob.
Bite me. It's McCallum for Shannon. See you next time on the podcast.